You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast. Visit mashthosebuttons.com for a full podcast schedule.
Welcome to WoW Talk, the Mash Those Buttons podcast all about World of Warcraft. My name is Nick Zelenkevich, and I'm here with Ray Liu.
Hey, hey.
And Eric Knutson.
Hey, guys.
And Jeremy's still having computer issues. Hopefully he'll be back soon. This is WoW Talk number 76. Today is March. Actually, we're recording. Oh, it's still PM. It's March 5th. Almost March 6th, 2017. I don't know. I feel like after last week when we talked about so much for so long that not a lot has been happening here, but we'll find stuff to talk about. That's what we do. That's why we're WoW Talk and not WoW, nothing's going on, call it a night. So with that in mind, then, what have you guys been up to in game?
We got Zin back.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice. Finally a good hunter in the group.
The only hunter in the group.
Actually,
right now.
Yeah. Only hunter. It's fine. Yeah, he's schedule changed again, so he can actually come with us. So that's cool. Otherwise, we've just been raiding. We got normal down, so we're working on heroic right now.
We did Kara.
Oh, yeah.
Well. Oh, nice.
Kara. Yeah, and doing Kara, because some of the guys haven't fully done Kara yet, so I think we're going to work on doing it, getting used to the map, because it's like the layout's a little bit different, and then probably once we get used to that, figure out the whole thing with the mount. With a timed mount run or whatever, so eventually we'll get to that. That's our goal.
Yeah, because it's the ninth boss that you have to get to in a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
And then that boss drops the mount.
Yeah, so okay. I know some of the guys really want to get it, and it's like, well, we need to know the surroundings first. I was like, I don't think we'd get it the first couple times around because we don't know where we're going. Like, I'm lost.
The way it works is that you have, I think, like 7 or 8 minutes to get to the first boss, and then from that point on, like, every time you kill a boss, you gain, like, 6 or 7 minutes.
Yeah.
And so you just have to keep chaining the bosses every few minutes until you get up to Nightbane. So, it's not, from what I understand, it's not too difficult, but I say that as somebody who has, I haven't even touched all the mythic dungeons to even get unlocked for Kara, so I probably am not the best spokesman for this.
For some reason, I keep hearing Isaac and something probably about Bear Tartar for, like, the 80th time. Because he likes using that because it gives him, I guess, a speed boost. So I guess we'll have to use that. Maybe if we're not fast enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that might be worth it. So I heard you guys did Emerald Nightmare again on normal.
Yeah. Brought some alts.
Wasn't it fun?
It was fun. Thanks for letting me come along. I think I had killed 2 Emerald Nightmare bosses in LFR prior to that, so it was nice to actually get in and see a raid while it was almost still current content by like 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
So no, it was cool. That Xavius fight at the end was crazy.
Yeah, that one was
like it's just gray, and then like he comes out looking all crazy.
Yeah, that one's pretty cool, especially if it's the first time you've seen him and all you've seen before is the shade of Xavius from the dungeon.
Yes.
You're like, this is what he looks like.
Well, I'll admit, I'd spoiled myself insofar as I'd seen the model, but still, the way that it's presented too, because I mean, the whole thing being in the nightmare, I have to say, the whole thing being in the nightmare and the fact that you come out in this like just empty gray area and Xavius is there, that was awesome. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I really liked, and I wish I had more time to go back in there, was because I didn't understand, like, when they were talking about, like, oh, you fight Ursoc and you fight Elrenth and she's in Mulgore and Ursoc's up in Northrend. And I'm like, how does all this fit together? Like, it sounds like you're going all over the place. And you do wind up going all over the place. I didn't understand, like, there's that central hub and then all the wings kind of are off that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I got to say, like, going to that alternate Mulgore where like Thunder Bluff was still there, but it was floating almost kind of like Negrand.
Yeah.
Like that was bizarre. And I really need to go back and like just hang out in that wing. Like maybe the next time we kill Xavius or something, just go. Well, no, because once you kill Xavius, then you wind up in the Emerald. You can't go back.
Yeah, you get ported
out. So, like,
out.
Maybe, like, after kill Ellerinth and then just go hang out in that weird alternate Mulgore and check it out. Because that was, I don't know, that was awesome. And it makes me wish, I don't know, like, as awesome as that raid was, it really makes me wish that the Emerald Nightmare was, like, its own zone. Or we got more of the Emerald Dream as a zone, because there's so much they could do with that. And for as long as they've been talking about, oh, the Emerald Dream could be, like, an expansion even. For as much as they've been talking about that, you know, going back to vanilla, you know, we only got to see like 3 spots of it or 4 spots of it, I guess, wherever we ported to. So,
yeah. But, and you got like 4 upgrades, I think, at least from other people.
Yeah. Well, no, it's always fun going with you guys since I'm like always the least geared out of everybody. Like everything gets funneled to me.
So. You're like the little sibling that gets like every hand-me-down ever.
Exactly. So I appreciate that. Thank you. But I will say though that this was one of the, I mean, I'd run some dungeons, but especially like, you know, normally I raid on my hunter. So it was weird raiding on my Death Knight as far as just having to be melee as opposed to ranged, because there's so much where hunter's like, oh, it's just time for me to move. And I just keep shooting my arrows while I'm moving around. And now it's like, oh, I got to move, but that means I'm not going to be able to hit the boss. Maybe I got some spells I can use, but it's not really the same.
Yep.
Like you're trying to dance and you're like, oh, my feet.
Yeah, and there were a few fights where I'm pretty sure that my DPS was terrible because there were a bunch of ads, and like I started running to one ad, and then like somebody killed it, and then it's like, oh, let me run to another ad, and there was like a good like minute where I'm just running between stuff without doing any damage. Like this is not how you're supposed to play this game.
It's okay.
Sometimes when I'm tanking, I like to troll the warriors. Like I do it to Jer sometimes. Sometimes unintentionally and sometimes intentionally because it's fun. But like if an ad runs off and he goes and he charges off to go get the ad, then I'll death grip it back to the original group and then he'll have to walk back.
Nice. Nice.
Damn it.
Yeah, I think there were a few times I tried to death grip things and I don't think it always worked well. And it's just one of those things that at least sometimes I hit that button. But
yeah, it's a fun button.
Yeah, but no, that was fun. I was glad I got to go on that. So at least I got to see one of the raids this expansion. Maybe at some point I'll make it into Nighthold finally.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, we're still helping Zin and some of the other people that switch their quote unquote maids to bring their raid. So they're still working on getting corrupted essences and what have you. So I'm sure when that's all done through, we'll move the next one into the optional raid Saturday and go from there. So maybe you'll get to go.
You know, that's the one thing that I'm bummed about is that, like, I have the quest to get the corrupted essences on my hunter. I have my hunter has one of his artifact appearances in Emerald Nightmare, and I'm running it on my Death Knight. Like, I need to get my my Alliance hunter up so this way I can at least get the hidden artifact appearance. Because at least if I get it on him, then at the end of the expansion, when goes for transmog and goes account wide, then I'll have all the. I'll have the weapon and all the appearances unlocked for everybody.
Yeah, that's
so. Cool. But what? Anything else you guys did this week? Anything fun?
I'm trying to think. We were trying to get back into doing some Mythic Pluses again too. I think we fell out of doing that and trying to get back into it now that we've got some better gear and maybe we'll try to attempt to do the harder ones at some point. We just got to get together and get that done.
Mm-hmm.
I think we only did up to +7. Last week? So.
Yep.
That's not bad. I've been hovering around like +2, +3. So +7 sounds impressive.
It always depends on the affixes that they give because sometimes they're poopy and nobody wants to do certain ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know if they changed this or if this was always like this and I just forgot, but one of the affixes was necrotic where you get like a healing and absorb debuff from mobs. As soon as he got out of combat, like as soon as we killed the last mob in a group, the debuff just immediately disappeared. I don't remember if it did that before or if you would have to wait for it to tick down to 0.
I believe that was a bug.
Okay.
And they fixed it on Monday.
Okay.
Which, and everybody was like, why did you fix this with 1 day left before the reset? And they were like, that's just as the earliest we could fix it. Like,
okay. Like, it's only one day anyway. So I reaped the benefits of it while it was there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It was not supposed to be doing
I was like, wow, this is kind of nice. I can still almost chain pull.
So. Yeah, so that the next time that comes up, and I don't know if it's random or if they cycle through the affixes, but the next time that comes up, it will be working as normal.
Okay.
Or, presumably. So, yeah, also, one other thing that I've been doing, I finally got the, I got a bunch of the Falcosaur hatchlings from the different world quests. Mm-hmm. I finally figured out how to do that, and I got the quests to spawn, and I did not realize that they were basically like battle pets. Because I was not one to play the battle pets. I did it back in Myst's beta, and then I never touched it since then. And the first thing was to get your pet to level 25, which was easy enough because the garrison, even if you don't have the pet menagerie unlocked, like, if you just have it at, like, whatever base is there where they're like, oh, go start the quests to unlock level one of your pet menagerie at the garrison, there's still a quest there that to get a free battle pet stone to boost a pet to level 25. So I was able to do that easily enough. But then the next one was like, okay, go actually, like, win some battle pet quests. And that was actually tough.
Yeah, I'll bet.
So, and the problem, too, is that the only pets I have at level 25 are the different Falcosaurs.
Oh.
And there's one of the world quests. It's got a whole bunch of different like pet battle types, and like Falcosaurs are weak against all of them.
Whoops.
So it's just go in and get slaughtered every day. So I don't know when I'm going to actually get my mount. I may have to actually like level other pets up to 25 and actually build out a roster and actually like learn what I'm doing with battle pets, which will be kind of annoying.
Can you use your other alts to get the stuff from the garrisons, or did you?
Yes.
Only
mm-hmm. No, because the pets are all account wide.
Yeah. Yep.
So
just do what it.
But the point is, I still have to do it. I have four garrisons, and there's four Falcosaurs. And you can only get one of those battle stones from each garrison. So, right. So like, so I'll get the Falcosaurs to level 25, but then I still have to get like other non-Falcosaur pets up so that I can win these pet battle quests. Because like I said, the Falcosaurs themselves are weak against everything. So I go in and get slaughtered. I still need to level up other characters somehow or other pets somehow.
Can you like get a loan from someone that has a level 25 pet that's cageable? You can borrow, and when you finish it, you give it back.
That I might be able to do. I think you're right. You can buy. Yeah, but then you can buy them off the auction house, or I guess maybe I can find somebody to
borrow them
send
from.
It over, and yeah.
I better go open up my bank of pets.
Do you have level 25 pets?
Well, I have 11 alts at least at 100. And I could just go to the garrisons and just get the stones.
Well, don't.
Yeah, that's where all my 25s came from, is garrison stones.
Yeah, I didn't level anything up. Mine are all just from the thing. So I have a handful of 25s from the, doing the quest where I just pick up the thing from the cart and get a stone for free.
Okay, we'll talk later about this then. You may have found a workaround. This is interesting. I'll let you know what. I need to kill Dragonkin. I think that's what's been bothering me. I have some crazy dragons in one of the world quests. But
good thing you can't see me holding my hands and hiding my face behind it.
Yeah, but you know, that's the other thing, too, is not that you need the money, but from what I understand is that once you level a pet to 25, you can sell it on the auction house and make bank.
Ooh, Ray does need the money when she hears things like that.
I know, right?
So it's probably just a matter of figuring out which pets sell the highest and then trying to find them and get them up to 25. But yeah, if you have some of the rare cageable stuff, then yeah, you know, check out which pets are cageable, you know, see how much they sell for, and then yeah, boost them. Because that's the thing, is like, that's kind of the boat that I'm in, is I don't really feel like playing the pet battles to get them up to 25. And it's not that I hate the pet battles, that I don't want a pet battle. it's especially right now, the way the game is, there's just other stuff I'd rather do, like get all the different artifact appearances. Like, I haven't even, play through the quest lines. I haven't even touched my rogue to get anything there. I have to get my warlock up to 110 so I can get the hidden artifact appearance for the skull that makes it look like a floating Eridar head.
Oh.
Like, when I'm doing all that, I gotta raid with you guys with my Death Knight. If I'm doing that, I can't be doing pet battles. Ain't nobody got time for that.
I'm currently selling one of my guildies all his jewel crafting remnants because he's trying to get to 800 or whatever, so he's letting me sell them and then I'll just make money for him.
Nice.
And just take a small cut. I think I'm at about 36k on some rings and stuff, so gotta make that money.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you gotta make that money and then you gotta buy the WoW token because Hearthstone has an expansion coming out. Gonna have to spend money on packs for that. There's a new hero they announced in Heroes of the Storm. Gotta spend money on that.
Oh, God. So, all the money.
New hero in Overwatch, so I'm sure there's going to be skins. You're going to want to spend money on that. So.
I think I'd have to be good at it in order to want to do that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but at least one of those games you should be okay at, right?
WoW. I'm good at healing and WoW.
Well, that's great, because that's what we're talking about now.
Yes. I win.
All right. All right, so let's go into... We still have one more email that we got regarding the scaling topic. I didn't realize this topic had legs like this, but it was from our good buddy YepX, as I serve over on US Hyjal. So this is what he said about scaling here. Hello, WoW Talk. After hearing the emails discussing how they would like scaling, I felt I should send in my thoughts on the matter. First off, absolutely no to world scaling unless you can toggle it. If you toggle world scaling on, perhaps XP is increased or some sort of bonus, but would have to be implemented carefully for it doesn't affect player power after level cap, primarily due to the vast changes it would have on the economy. However, the argument at hand, it seems, is people want the legacy zones to be relevant in newer expansions. My solution is in every expansion is to make patterns, recipes, etc. for almost everything to require a few older materials that use older materials alongside the current ones. Blizzard's job is to adjust recipes so it doesn't seem you need a massive shopping list to craft said item, but not make the materials so easy to get they can be mass crafted after 5 minutes of farming and drastically affect the economy. I will say, however, materials that seem vastly underused are the Eternals, Primals, and older expansion raw cut gems. An alternative crafting feature I can see for cosmetic items only and not gear for it, it's not mandatory, is that you craft said item with current content materials. But in the crafting window, there will be an option to enhance the look of set pet, mount, old gear for transmog, etc. to give it more flair. An example for pets is to say that in the crafting window, under the list of current materials is a randomly generated list of legacy trade good items, changes each week in your crafting window. You can add wool cloth to your pet, which could give it a better hat, or something like that with a low chance to give it 1 or 2 points extra in each stat. Along these same lines, you craft a mount. It has an optional list of items you can use which can change the color of the saddle, give it additional armor on it, and perhaps add a system that gives your mount a small storage space separate from your bank and bags. How this will be implemented, I'm not sure, but I think it's a decent solution to making older zones more relevant. Thanks for reading my email, Zyserve at US Hyjal. P.S. I made no money with garrisons. I made more money this expansion than I ever did in WoD. Which, well, I don't understand that. I'm still struggling to make money in this expansion. Well, I shouldn't say I'm still struggling, but I think you need good crafting expansions to make money in this, or really good at gathering expansions to make money in Legion.
I disagree.
You think it's all the crafting?
No, I don't know for mats and crafting. I don't know. I just sell anything. Like, I haven't really crafted anything to sell, and I haven't really been selling much of my materials either. I just sell things.
Well, in a way, that's you're farming, but you're not farming the materials. You're farming, like, loot.
Well, if I was actually farming them, if I'm helping people and I get drops, that's basically where it's coming from. It's just me helping people the whole time. Like the Dungeon Moon or the Dungeon Dark Moon Fair stuff or whatever. Like, I sell all those things and they just come in a bag. It's not like I try to get those. Any greens I just drop, I always just sell those and any BOEs and whatnot. Like, that, I think that's most of my things. And still stuff from the garrisons. I still sell the rep token and the huge ogre cash and the mounts and the pit and the burning blades.
I've been trying to sell the rep token, and I think, I mean, people are still selling it, but I used to be getting about 3,000 on the one server that I'm on, and now it's down to like 2,000, which I would think that like the interest in that should still be there, because there's a lot of stuff gated behind rep that it's so much easier to just pay a couple grand, or if, you know, ideally three or more grand, 5 grand, really. Give me 5 grand, I'll give you a rep token. That it'd be, you know, that there's a lot of stuff that the rep token is so much easier than actually going out and grinding through the WAD content. But yeah, I'm disappointed with how that's been selling. But I'm glad that I'm glad that you've been finding a market for that stuff. My bank is full of the the burning blade that you mentioned, or God forbid, Left Shark. There's never going to be a market for Left Shark.
Oh, I don't even do the quests for that anymore. That's when I like save bag space. I know not to take those. But yeah, everything else, I mean, just, you know, if you know it's going to be there, just sell it. I mean, some of the stuff, it's like, unfortunately, it's like going like real life shopping. Sometimes if you miss out on the sale or, you know, whatever, then you miss out on it. Same thing here. If you miss out on the markups and stuff like that, then better to start selling it well before it goes downhill. I think two of our guys, well, actually, it was me and two of the other guys, we were trying to get that harness. We were trying to sell those or whatever, and they're going for pretty high, but then now it's at like 70K. And before, they're trying to sell it for like, I think 300-400K, and it was starting to go like super like low, like 200 and 100, and then I think Scott was dying on the inside because it was going so low.
Nice. But to get back to the email for a moment here, I like the idea of like being able to modify the pets and mounts that you craft. The only problem with that is that I feel like any modifications, Blizzard would just as easily be like, this is a new pet, this is a new mount, and we can add this in elsewhere. I mean, again, going back to Warlords of Draenor, how often did we see recolored mounts available through different ways where they, you know, they use the same mount and it's just, you know, slight variation on it, mostly usually a different color, sometimes like the wolves, maybe sometimes they had a helmet, sometimes they didn't. And then they just made them available all a whole bunch of different ways. So as awesome as that would be, I don't see Blizzard doing that when they can just like be like, okay, this mount has a, you know, like an extra strap or a hat or something. Well, we'll just make it available some other way as opposed to being able to change it with the pet crafting there. But that is, I do like that idea. I also like the idea of mounts giving extra storage space. Cause you know, that's one of the things that we don't have is like, I guess fundamentally you have your guild bank that you can summon anywhere, but, and I guess you, engineers also have Jeeves that has a bank, but like we have the transmog mount with the repair on it, but there's no mount with a bank on it. That would make a ton of sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah, actually, if it's be pretty good. I mean, you can throw down a guild bank, but you can't really throw down your personal bank. Yeah.
You'd have to be an engineer to be able to get your own stuff from Jeeves, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're not an engineer, you can't do that. I mean, I think like mats wise, the only thing I really think of is just stuff like if people still use their void storage, I guess like a tailor could build like a, I don't know. Well, not even tailor. I'm trying to think. I know like I think engineers would be nice if they made it so like mounts could holster like a second person. Like if it was like physically could hold another person. It's really awkward saying to like, Draw and I sitting on a smaller mount that just
yes,
it'd be funny though.
I know, but you know,
kind of like the sidecar on the one motorcycle mount.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But yeah, I think there's certain things I think they could implement. Like, you know, I've always thought about that. Like, you know, if engineers could engineer like a sidecar for something else, like motorcycles could have two sidecars, right? Maybe
it'd be like a really big trike,
you know, or the serpents could probably holster a second person. Because they're so long, you probably put a second person right behind mm-hmm. without you it know, going all crazy.
I'm surprised they haven't put in like a 5-person mount just for use for getting to raids.
The party van?
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, something sweet. Like that. Like basically like you just go around like, you know, rather than having to like always, you know, like get some people there and then summon, like you just go around, pick everybody up mm-hmm. and then like one person just drives everybody. It's kind of like everybody would be on follow, but one person just drives everybody right to the raid.
They make it like the mystery machine.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. No, that'd be cool. Yeah, I think there'd be like different things that'd be if they were able to put something in that's for everyone or whatever, or like, you know, the ever elusive warlock, you know, maybe they could build something where someone can make a summoning portal, but with like probably ridiculous mats or whatever, just because, you know, that'd be too easy for everyone just to do that, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. But well, yeah, but the thing is, I mean, and Zyserv even kind of mentioned this in the email, is, you know, talking about, you know, trying to make sure that it's not like you use these old materials, but that they're not accessible, you know, so easy that they can be farmed quickly, but people will farm it. Like, you, no matter how insane you make the requirements, like, people will still go out and get that. Or people will complain, like, oh, I have to go and do, you know, this specific raid and kill this specific boss to get this one, you know, gem to drop that I need for my crafting, that, you know, it's, I don't know, that never seems to work. Like, they do have a good way. It seems they have a good handle as far as making the current content drop the materials you need for crafting, and then that's the problem that Zyserv is trying to address here, is that then you move on to the next expansion and everything kind of goes by the wayside. It's difficult, I think, as far as balancing a way to use old materials without letting the access be too easy, because even then, like, if they had something where it's like, okay, one of the recipes in Legion required wool cloth, it's, you know, one, I mean, okay, it might go up a little bit on the auction house as far as the cost of it, but wool cloth isn't that hard to get. And I think even then it would still be relatively cheap, that, I mean, people just be like, oh, I need like 5 wool cloth, pay a couple silver for it. Maybe a gold or two. I don't know. I don't know what the current going rate for wool cloth is, but
now I'm going to look.
I couldn't see a world without scaling applied, that, you know, you're killing level 110 mobs. And even then, even if you were killing 110 mobs, they'd still be basic level 110 mobs, that if you're geared at all, you're still mowing through them pretty easily. That I don't think it would slow, you know, it's still going to be fairly simple farming. I mean, annoying, you know, maybe more so than if you're just burning through level 50 mobs or something, but
yeah. Yeah, I think, well, I was trying to look, because I was trying to understand, I guess, what he was saying, it was, would have an effect on the economy. I guess, would it be because of everything would be too cheap or too expensive?
I think in this case, it's everything would be too cheap, because if you can farm it quickly, then the economy gets flooded. Everything is cheap. So they'd have to ask for like insane amounts of wool cloth, like 40,000 wool cloth or something.
So
at that point, then it would actually be a difficult farm, and that, you know, it would require some effort, and that would start to drive the cost up.
And wouldn't that be if they made everything to your level and you would farm it, because not everybody's going to go out and farm it. They would just buy it anyway. So it only,
yeah,
you know, I mean, well,
at least at your level, there's a bit more of a challenge. I mean, it's still, like I said, it's still not too difficult to go farm amongst level 110 mobs. Even if you're slightly geared,
you mean, but, as I get hit and I watch somebody else take something away from me.
Well, yeah, that's always annoying.
Like,
always,
no, annoying. That was mine. Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's usually it stays there for a few moments. There's a little window there where even after they take it, you can still claim it. But yeah, depending on how long you're busy dealing with that mob, that's always the worst. Is when you see a node, you're on your way to the node. There's a boss. There's a mob in the way. You engage the mob, and then somebody else runs in, and you're just like, come on.
Yeah.
Especially if it's actually the last node with this expansion, because I know, like, you can get a couple hits off of it or whatever, but there are times where I'm just like, ah, crap, that was the last one, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
You know what I used to do was either on my DK or my Paladin, I'd, you know, they have, like, the DK has Asphyxiate, which is a 5-second stun, and the Paladin has Amory Just, it's, like, the same thing. I would attack the mob and then stun them and then mine my node and then go back to attacking them.
That's how you're supposed to do it. That's how you're supposed to do it. Yes. Yes. So, yeah, so thank you for the emails, Zyserv. And if anybody else wants to send us any emails, we can continue talking about scaling, since that seems to be a popular topic, or about anything else that we talk about on the show. Our email is wowtalk@mashthosebuttons.com. So send us your feedback, send us your emails. We like hearing from you guys. So we did actually get another request for a topic to talk about here. And let's see here. This was a bit of a long message here, so I'm going to see where I can break it up a little bit to discuss this. So here, so we got an email here, a message It says, I've been playing WoW since late 06, and it wasn't until mid 07 that raiding and endgame content became more relevant to me at that time. I've played Warrior all that time with a few alts here and there. However, this discussion can tie every class spec. For years as a DPS, I've been struggling to be a good DPS, and it wasn't until 2011 I took third-party tool sites more seriously, and over the years have spent hours reading, watching, and trying to improve. The will is there, but it's a real crappy feeling to come to the realization no matter how hard I try and follow guides, I'm never good enough. And let's see here. And then, I want a game where all the character stats are normalized, and in turn every ability is useful and not so reliant upon a proc or spell, and need an add-on to monitor that information. In my opinion, the game should operate to which, if I have gear, I can always be a useful raider. Thoughts? So, and as I said, I abridged that email, but there was a large bit of content in the middle, which we may reference here in a moment. But basically, as far as trying to improve yourself as a raider, I mean, you guys, I mean, Ray, you're a guild leader, Eric, you're a raid leader. When somebody comes to you guys and they're like, look, what do I need to do? Like, how do you approach that? How do you encourage them? What kind of guidance do you give to tell them how to get better?
Do you want to field this one, Ray?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, I think for the last couple expansions, that was our problem, is that we didn't say anything. We were just kind of like, we'll just have to have so-and-so and the other person be like 1.75 people to make up for the person that wasn't doing well. And it was always hard to judge whether it's like, do they know they're not good? Are they just here because they're here to push buttons to get gear? Like, and we never really addressed it in the first place, which is why this expansion, we had changed it a little bit on requirements of what we're going to have, because it makes it a lot harder when, you know, you have other people who know they're doing really well, and then they see, like, you know, that someone else is, like, really not pulling their weight and stuff like that. And now we have a couple people that are like that. They, like, really want to do well, and it's kind of like, oh, well, you know, this person, yada, yada, yada. So it's just kind of like, so now it's like we try to let people know during the times, like, you know, if we're doing something wrong, you could do it the polite way where you're just going ahead and just telling everybody what they need to do. Some of the people will actually PM me, and I always send it over to Eric. I'm like, hey, I only heal. Like, I do not know what you guys do other than when you stand in shit, I get pissed off when you could have avoided it. Like, that's pretty much it. So I always send it over to Eric, or I go, hey, you know, there's the other guys that do TPS and do really well. Like, you can ask them, because it's always about, like, you know, like, it doesn't matter how much gear you have. We had a DK in during, like, MOP, and he was in WOD too for a little mm-hmm. bit, but yeah, it was like he had more gear than half of our other people, but he did not do good, and it was really frustrating for a lot of people because he kept winning shit, and we're just like, oh. And it was like, you never understand, and it's hard. It's a hard topic to go through, because it's like, well, that's a friend of a friend, and like, do you tell that person, or what do you do at that point? And they don't play with us anymore, and it's kind of like, I don't know. I can't remember if I might have talked to him after the fact, like, for this expansion when he came back for a little bit on his Warlock.
I think so.
And stuff like that, because, like, and it was just kind of like, you know, telling him, it's like, you got to work on this part, and like, hey, you know, Meanie has a Warlock, like, ask him with his rotation, because I think he kept doing something different, but, like, he kept dying, like, on our first Mythic for Eye of Ashara, and it was pretty bad. So I kind of was just like, you know, got to work on the rotations and just look up stuff if you're not sure, like, because that's the whole thing. It's like, if you're reading stuff and you don't get it, and if you're watching videos, you don't get it, like, a lot of it's application of actually doing it. And unfortunately, like, add-ons won't help you with that, and neither will, like, reading, because, like, they're, like, it's, like, real-life situations. Like, you know how to drive a car, but you can't, you know, you can't really count, like, hold accountable for anybody else driving, because I know when I drive to work, there are fucking crazy people out here. It's really annoying, and I have to be on the defensive, and I need to know what to do at that instance when someone cuts me off, which is yell a whole fucking lot and glare at them and dodge them and make sure I don't fucking die. Like, and, you know, raiding is kind of like that too. There's a lot of just applications in that time that you just need to know how to do. And that's what I tell them. It's just like, I can only help so much. Like, if it's with healing, I can help people, but I've never need, like, my three healers or my two healers that I have with me, like, we kind of, like, work with each other on doing that stuff, so we're okay. So I don't know, for a DPS stance, I think that would be more of Eric's thing. Because, mm-hmm. you know, I just deal with I'm either not saying anything, or if you're going to make me say something, I'm going to say a lot of stuff, and someone's feelings is probably going to get hurt because I've been nice for a very long time.
Yeah, like Ray said a couple expansions ago, we used to not say anything if somebody was just doing really bad. I mean, we'd say it to each other in like officer chatter and whispers. We're like, wow, how is this person doing this terrible? And like, but we'd never call them out on it because at the time we were also really still a small raid team, and I guess personally I didn't want to start chasing people away so that we had to keep recruiting every week, and that was really annoying. So we just kind of dealt with it. There was a couple of us that were really good, and we would just try and pick up the slack. So everything was more difficult for us through the last two expansions because we always had dead weight. But this time around, we're trying it a little bit differently, where we're telling people right off the bat, hey, you should be doing at least 50K more. But we're not going to be like strict on it where we're going to kick people or like really yell at them. But we'd like to at least work with them. Like basically all I really expect out of them is that you're at least somewhat competitive with the rest of the team. Like you're not down below the tanks and you know how to keep yourself alive. That's the most important thing for me, is if you can keep yourself alive, some DPS is better than no DPS. And that's the most frustrating thing for me when I see somebody just like tunneling the boss and they or not really paying attention to where they're standing, and then they just like move over next to me and Dennis and they get cleaved with the tanks. I'm like, are you serious? Like it's just such an amateur mistake. Things like that make you really frustrated. But like we still let people, like we don't chew people out and kick them out or anything, but we've gotten a little bit more to the point where we'll actually say something now and try and fix it before it has to fall on the weight of everyone else's shoulders.
I'm pretty sure on at least one of those Emerald Nightmare fights, I stood somewhere and got cleaved with the tanks.
Yeah. Well, on our Saturday alt raid, you can do that if you want. Nobody really cares.
Yeah, Saturday's like, you know, we have people that bring their mains because they don't have ults or they don't really care. Or they're trying to catch up on stuff. So usually not too big of a deal. But for progression, I mean, that's a lot more, you know, that's your first string of people for the football team, right? And then you have like third string on Saturday or something. They're mm-hmm. there. You're like, dear Lord.
Yeah.
Can they make it? And I don't know. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say it's the intramural league.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, go. Its own way.
But yeah, so, yeah, I mean, with doing that, a lot of it's going to be, I was trying to actually scroll through and kind of read this, but yeah, I mean, if you feel like you're not being good enough, I mean, if it's hard, like working on the dummies and feeling like actually having the rotations, I mean, I think even in LFR, even though a lot of people just like putz around and not really give a crap, like actually trying the mechanics in there, you know what I mean? Like practicing the rotation in a place where like nobody's going to really just like harp on you about anything, that you could try it from there. And then, you know, if you're going like go with the pug group, maybe, mm-hmm. you know, and just kind of go with them, and same thing, just like keep practicing through there and hopefully you'll get the hang of it. If, you know, if you feel like that your group, your guild is not, you know, being fair to you and you're not uncomfortable, I personally think that, you know, you should always be with a group of people that have the same like quote-unquote like core values, I guess, like things that you want in the out of the game, like similar things that you want to do, whether it's like PvP, raiding, questing and stuff like that. Because, you know, if you have something that's like not the same schedule or they're clashing, like it's not going to work out. It's going to make it difficult for everybody on some end.
The other thing that I would say is the one person here who only plays DPS is that, well, two things. One, I'm assuming you don't mouse click, that you use your keyboard, your keybinds.
I keybind everything almost, except for certain abilities or cooldowns, but most everything's keybound.
Yeah, because that was something when I kind of got serious about playing, because, you know, prior to Mists, prior to patch 5.4, I think it was, whichever patch were for the legendary cloak, when you had to go fight one of the August Celestials as part of the legendary cloak quest.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, I was a keyboard clicker, and I got into that fight, and that quest for a hunter was a pain because the hunter got the ranged DPS Celestial to fight, but that was intended for like spellcasters. And so like spellcasters have all these different ways of dealing with stuff. Like they're not supposed to take any damage. For a hunter, the way you had to beat that was just burst it down as fast as possible. Cause it gets to this one part where, Raphion would spawn a whole different bunch of, like clones of himself. And you had to like kill just the one that was him, which ideally you have like some massive AOE that I think all the spellcasters had, except for hunters at the time. Cause I think we could barrage, but it didn't work. It didn't get all of them, didn't do enough damage at that point. And so we had to, so the only way that you could win that fight was just get in there and just burst them down before it got to that part. And the only way I could do that was to teach myself one, the keybinds, to make sure that I had the keybinds right. And then, you know, go through, study the rotations and make sure I had the rotation right, you know, as far as saving my cooldowns. And there were some specific cooldowns to use on that fight. I know there was a lot of throwing down an ice trap to keep a distance between myself and the Corrupted Bloods when those came up. There were some specific mechanics there that I had to know, but you know, I think the big thing for me was learning the keybinds, getting that down. And now I know that's the one thing that still gets me is that for the most part, I have my keybinds similar across all my characters. So like G, for example, is my interrupt, you know, it's my, my binding shot on my hunter or counter shot on my hunter. Rather, it's my, what's the Death Knight interrupt? I want to say kick. It's not kick for
it's
the
mind
Death
freeze.
Knights. Mind freeze. Yes. I have mind freeze on G. So this way I know like whenever I need to interrupt something, just hit G. But yeah, I think keybinds is the one thing. The other thing too, and this is the thing that I agree with you that WoW should not require add-ons to play, but there is a certain point at which the next thing you need to do in order to increase your ability is to get add-ons. Deadly Boss mods, we've had Adam on before. Again, you know, give to his Patreon, recommend that. You know, that's a great add-on. Or I think the other one too that's big is weak auras. And a weak auras, I think, is the one that you can kind of like, it'll show you like, basically it'll tell you like, okay, hit this button now, hit this other button now. Like once you figure out the rotation, that's really the thing that you need to worry about. Because like Ray said, comparing this to driving, you have to pay attention to like 8 different things at once. You have to make sure you're not standing in the fire. You have to make sure you're doing the mechanics and you have to watch which cooldowns are coming up when to know when you want to hit them. And weak auras can at least help with that because the WoW default interface, I don't want to say it's terrible, but it could do certain things better. And something like weak auras, which will point out like, okay, you know what? Hey, you know, your big cooldown is, you know, just ran out. You can, you know, use this ability again. And just seeing that reminder, making it visible enough so that, you know, even if you're looking, say like, okay, I'm standing in the fire, let me run over here where there's no fire. Oh, I also have to hit this cooldown because I can see that. You know, it's kind of like being in a car. And I mean, cars nowadays, the newer cars, they have the features where it's like, oh, hey, there's somebody in your blind spot. Like that alert comes on. Mm-hmm. It's the same kind of thing. Like you don't need a little light telling you there's somebody in your blind spot, but it helps. And yeah, I think that's something. Cause we talked about Zen, the hunter in our group. When I was playing my hunter, he was doing about, you know, 20 to 30 K DPS more than me. And the only real difference I can think of, I mean, we were both roughly the same geared, both following similar rotations. The only thing I can think that was different was that he was using add-ons where I wasn't. And it's unfortunate that that's kind of the next step to be, but at a certain, if you want to play the game at a certain level, then you need, you know, I almost sound like I'm pushing steroids on people. Like if you want to play this sport at a certain level, you need to start taking the same thing everybody else is. But
no, I mean, if you think about it, when WoW first came out, there were no add-ons, correct? Right. You just played and people just actually learned what you needed to do. And you just had to be super aware. And that's how it was. I mean, it's not like the, you know, death rate of people went down because now they have new gadgets that tell you people are in your blind spot. You just knew how to look. Like there are people who add-ons are helpful, but only if you know how to utilize them, I guess. You know, you can't just be like, well, the computer's going to tell me when there's someone in my blind spot, so I'm never going to check again in my entire fucking life. Like you can't do that. You know, you can't just use the add-on in that way. Like, I mean, I think there's an add-on called GTFO, if you're standing and stuff, I think it yells at you. Mm-hmm. You know, if that's if you're having that problem, then you would use that. But I mean, you know, so there's certain things you use for certain, you know, instances and whatnot. But yeah, if I remember, WoW didn't have add-ons back in the day, and people like literally had to know what to do for each fight and when it was coming up, and people probably actually communicated a lot more and like, hey, this is coming in 5 seconds or yada yada yada, and like talked with each other. I kind of miss that, you know, because like sometimes it's quiet in our raids and I'm like, oh, okay, I'll start calling out random things because it's lonely and no one's talking. Well, and not talking, but for raid things.
I think some classes, I think, benefit a lot more from add-ons than others. Like, for example, for me, like when I'm tanking on my DK, I don't know, I have Recount and Omen, which I don't even really use Omen that much. It's not that important for me. It's because really, I mean, me and the other tank, Dennis, we don't really have threat problems. But I just keep that one up just because I always have. I use DBM. Otherwise, other than that, I don't use anything for him. If I'm on like my Feral Druid, I have a add-on I use a lot called Bad Kitty. And basically it's just a bleed timer, where I can put these handy, like, they're like, timer bars, I guess. I can put them right over the cat, like right in the center of my screen. So I'm not constantly, looking up over at the boss's portrait to see how much time is left on one of the bleeds. So I knew which one to refresh or whatever. And so while I'm doing that and like looking back and forth, I'd find myself standing in things or not moving enough because my eyes are all over the place. And so I found using that just kind of neatly packs everything in sweet, easy to read bars that were like right in the middle of the screen, that I could actually focus a lot more on where I'm standing. So there's an add-on like that I thought was very helpful. In certain classes, like I said, it might be more beneficial than others.
Well, bleeds and dots are the worst, because like if you miss a big cooldown, you're only going to get so many of those during a raid anyway. So maybe if you miss enough of it, you might lose one more of your big cooldown. Maybe. But like the bleeds and the dots, you always want to time them just as the one's expiring. Because if you hit it too soon and you refresh it, then you wasted like some time you could have been doing something else. If you wait until after it's expired and then hit it again, it's time that you weren't doing damage on the boss. Mm-hmm. And so that's the one that always requires precision. That's why I play Demonology instead of like Affliction.
Oh yeah.
Although even then, I mean, if you think about it, the way they've reworked Demonology is that the demons are basically like dots. They're just physical dots. Mm-hmm. You still have to make sure you summon your Dreadstalkers at the right time and whatnot. So no, especially for a class, if you're playing a dot heavy class, if you're playing a bleed heavy class, you definitely want to get some kind of timer to keep it up, because like that, you can see that information in the game, but it's so tiny off in the corner.
Yeah.
It's practically not there.
You're looking at your spell bar and then you're looking at the boss's portrait and then you're looking at your character to make sure you're not standing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's all over the place.
Yeah. So I hope that answers your question there. I hope that helps you improve as a raider, because we want to see everybody excel to the best of their potential. So thank you for that email. Actually, that was also from YepX. So we got two emails from YepX today here. So thank you for that. Moving on here. Again, this week was weak on news. And I want to talk about something here that I read on Forbes that relates to Zelda Breath of the Wild. And it was Paul Tassi over at Forbes. He wrote an article talking about how Zelda Breath of the Wild broke his addiction to sandbox RPGs. And in particular, he talks about how lately a lot of sandbox RPGs, they, you know, like you go out into the wild, you see a group of mobs and you're like, oh, okay, I kill these mobs, I get XP, I can get, maybe they'll drop better loot for me. You know, I'll get rewarded for killing these mobs. There's some kind of, you know, checkbox that I'm going to get to check off for killing these mobs. And that's sort of the incentive to go do that. You don't want to kill those mobs necessarily. There's no attractive reason to kill those mobs. You just want to, you know, get more XP, get more loot, just grind up. And in Zelda, there's none of that. He talks about how he found this one group of mobs that he was like, okay, I'll go over there. They're probably going to break my weapon, probably going to hurt me, might kill me. There's not going to be any experience to get. There might not drop any loot. So this might be a worthless experience, but I'm going to go over and try killing him anyway. And he goes over and he kills them. And he did get, I think he did get a piece of loot that was worth it, but that wasn't even why what he went over there. He went over there and he said the experience was fun, that, you know, that just killing the mobs was the reward. And I'm reading this and I'm like, this is something I wish more people would get back to with WoW. We've seen this expansion. A lot of people complain about artifact power, and we'll talk about the Legion Q&A in a moment, but basically the point of artifact power is that you are not supposed to grind artifact power. And people, it seems like there are some people that struggle with that. And even in general, you always see people talking about grinds in this game. And even, you know, I'm even guilty of this a little bit, because I'm talking about wanting to get that damn Falcosaur mount and I don't want to do the pet battles. So like, what am I doing there? But like, people need to step back and it's like, have fun playing the game. Like, it should be fun killing these bosses. It should be fun killing mobs. It should be fun using your powers out in the world and feeling, you know, somewhat overpowered against the, you know, the mobs, you know, 110 or whatever level. And it just seems that people get too far from that. And then this, and especially a game like this, where there's something to go back and do every day, every week, you have to, you know, log in and kill the same bosses, where this can become a slog and it can start to feel like a job, and it shouldn't. Like, enjoy playing the game. Like, if the game gets to the point where you feel like you're stuck in a rut, and you know, that's when it's time to step away. You know, you come back for the next expansion. And I don't know, I got a bit jealous, because like, I remember there was one time that I was gonna go, I hadn't played Final Fantasy VII in a while, and I was just sitting there, I was like, I want to play that again. And not because I wanted to play through the story or anything, but I was like, I just missed that style of combat with the timer bars, and you got the four characters and they're bouncing in and out when they're doing their attacks and all that. I was like, I feel like doing that. That's what I felt like doing. I wanted to actually play the game, not like, you know, like get an experience or anything like that. And I don't know. We need to enjoy, like, Warcraft needs to be fun. This is all supposed to be fun. And I think we need to remember that. It's too easy. It's too easy when you want to get some pretty mount for no reason other than having a pretty mount that you're going to see like once every 3 days because you got so many other pretty mounts.
That's what the random buttons
are. It's
so
easy,
Nick,
to lose sight of that. So. Yeah, that became very personal. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you want to have fun when you're playing with your friends. I think that's the whole thing for me, and why I have the guild that I have and why I've run it for so long that I have, is just being able to enjoy the time that you have with your friends doing things that you enjoy together, be it that you're, you know, doing bosses together or whatever. I've, you know, unfortunately, I think at the end of MOP and beginning of WoD, I actually lost a friend. You know, I mean, we talk every so often now. It's not the same. And all because, you know, he was trying to get his friends to join our guild to do stuff, and they had a completely different way of doing things. And, you know, that's why we had the pugs, you know, the optional raid Saturday back then. It was just to, you know, come in our group, see if you like playing with us, see if you feel like you mesh well with the guild, and go from there. But I guess, I think my friend like pushed them to play and to transfer servers and all this other stuff. And when they found out that they couldn't, you know, get to max level first and choose whatever role that they wanted, they got super pissed and left. And it was just kind of like, you know, one of our other guildies was like, well, you know, that's, sorry to hear that, but like, nobody asked anybody to transfer over and spend their money to do that. Like, you know, we've been doing this the same way forever now, and my friends know me for at least a year and change by then. So it's kind of like, you know, it sucks, because you want to be able to enjoy the game and not like have that happen, you know. And now it's like, I think he still plays, but he just says that those guys ended up no-lifing it, and then they got burnt out, you know. And you shouldn't do that with anything in life. I mean, like, slow down. Just, you know, just take the time to enjoy the stuff, you know, with people that you want to enjoy. And so, you know, if people are frustrating you, find other people to play with. I mean, it's kind of as easy as that. I have one of Jarrett's friends that plays Overwatch with him, messages me all the time asking questions about WoW, and I tell him the same thing every time. And it's just kind of like, I know he's a little kid, so I can't really yell at him a lot, but I kind of want to yell at him a lot and be like, listen, just play the thing that you like the best and go from there. I can't give you the shortcut on how to level a healer to max. It's just like, I played with my friends and I got to the max level and I picked a healer up, and yes, I didn't DPS my way there. I used a healer, and, you know, just have fun. Sorry, I went off on a tangent.
No, but that's the thing, though, as far as, like, leveling to max. Like, if you're going out there and you're having fun and you're just doing stuff, like, you shouldn't even notice that you're leveling. And it's one of those problems where it's, like, Blizzard knows that, like, you get a dopamine hit when you see your character glow and get all tingly and everything. And then you're like, all right, let's get another one of those. And it's, like, ultimately, it should just be, like, you're going out doing stuff and then, like, you just having to check, like, oh, hey, I'm level 73 now. When did that happen? Like, because they make all these numbers, they make all these systems so prominent, which, because again, they know the reward you get from advancing through those systems makes you want to play more. It actually kind of encourages you to not enjoy the game in a way, but yeah.
Well, might depend on who you're playing with, I guess. No, I'm just trying to think. That's I'm true. Like, I don't know. There's only so many people I think that really like, I think Eric Super does not like people that have to like grat someone every time they level one level, like.
Oh, that used to annoy me. I remember. All right, yeah, I remember. I was like flying around something. I don't remember if I was doing archaeology or something like that, and I got like an achievement for like explore Stranglethorn Vale, and like open guild chat like within about 3 seconds. Grats! Like, really? That's not an achievement, you grats. That's just something that happened while I was doing something else.
I get anxiety about that because, was it the other day, I think somebody was going through Ice Crown, and so they were getting all of the achievements for doing different stuff in Ice Crown, and it's like, I didn't say grats any time, but I was like, should I be saying grats? Because they got like 10 achievements in like 20 minutes. I'm like, I don't know.
No. He's max level. I that was Psycho probably. It's max. I mean, if you're max level, you're like blowing through them. Like, really, that's not a feat of strength at this point, and you know, I mean, you don't need to. We're just to let you know, our guild is not like that. We don't need to. Anybody that does that for like every single little thing, they're still a greenhorn probably to our guild.
Yeah, true.
No. Okay, so I'm never saying grats for anything.
Only if it's like an ahead of the curve achievement or something.
No, the next time anybody gets in, I'm just like, finally? Now you've done it? Slowpoke.
It took you long enough.
Welcome to Wrath, bitch.
Shit.
So, yeah. So again, the takeaway there is just everybody enjoy the game. That's all. That's all I ask. It's a simple request. That's what I say every week. Enjoy playing WoW. So remember, that should be key. Enjoy playing WoW. Mm-hmm. So moving on into the news section here real quickly. There was a Legion Q&A the other week where Ian and Lore talked about a bunch of stuff. Real quickly, they mentioned, I guess, in 7.15 that they implemented some RNG for some of the hidden appearances and stuff. So since 7.15, you should have had more luck getting those. If not, your time will come soon. They got a lot of questions about RNG. And basically, they're kind of... Like, they were talking about, like, making the secondary traits on the new relics behind RNG, and basically they were just saying that it's easier for them to do that rather than handcraft a relic each time, that they just kind of randomly give it a stat, but people can change through as they need. And then, yeah, there was a lot of, I don't want to say complaining, but a lot of questions about, again, like, people with the underperforming legendaries, but even then... Like, the underperforming legendaries, they've been buffed in 7.15, some of them, that, depending on the raid, like, Cephuse is actually a good legendary, from what I understand, for certain fights now. And so, I think the problem is, like, people get in their mind that Cephuse and Pride Az are terrible, and then they never... It's hard to change that mindset once it's established. But there'll be more legendaries in 7.2, there'll be craftable legendaries in 7.2. And then Ian even basically, the one question Ian was even asked sort of about all the mythic guilds that have been calling it quits and, you know, whether that's due to the grind or not. And his point again was that it's up to the player, that, you know, like, you shouldn't be playing 80 hours a week. That if you're expected to play 80 hours a week, like, that's not healthy. That's not good. Like, everybody needs to have their own cap. And then, you know, everybody needs to know, like, where that line is for them. And sometimes guilds just burn out anyway. You know, he said before that there was a point, I think, in Burning Crusade where a bunch of top-end guilds, you know, burned out, and then other guilds came in, and I'm sure I mean, somebody has to get world first. It's not like nobody's not going to get world first. So we'll see. It may take longer next time, but somebody's going to have to kill the final boss on Mythic first, unless we all wait until the exact moment to kill him at the same time, and then everybody wins.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Starting to feel like real life. No, exactly. Everybody cannot win. You don't all get fucking gold stars, guys. Hard work and perseverance, you know? You gotta work hard for your shit.
No, if everybody kills the mythic boss for the first time at the same time, that's the end of WoW. We win. We get prizes.
Way to make Azeroth great again.
So yeah, so there was a Q&A. We'll have the link to the transcript. You can check that out. See what they said there. Also, one of the things coming up in 7.2 is that add-ons that modify the appearance of friendly nameplates while inside dungeons and raids are being disabled. Or I should say they're being disabled while inside dungeons and raids. So that outside you have your pretty nameplates that give you the information that you want. Inside, everybody's got the standard blue name and guild. And I guess part of the problem was that there was a way that people were able to use the nameplates to gauge distances between players within the raid, which they don't want add-ons to do. So they just had to turn off those add-ons in the raids. There should be a way for them to fix that, so that really what they need to do, they should just fix the default nameplate view or give more options for that. Cause I've seen some of these other add-ons, I don't use them, but they do make everything look prettier. Mm-hmm. And anything they've done to make the interface look prettier, I'm fine with that.
Oh, I guess I never thought about doing that. Sometimes I can't see the person in the corner because everybody looks the same from far away.
I would think, especially as like a healer, like where you want to know who's who, you can. I mean, the one add-on I saw, I think it applied the class colors to everybody's name, so you could see what class they were real quickly. Which, yeah, if you've got like that problem Death Knight who keeps getting cleaved with the tanks, like then you'll know exactly where he is.
Just think if you run our progression raid, we have like 4 Death Knights. You would be a fifth one.
Yeah, we're stacked with like, DKs this time.
Like one time something happened. It was like, all right, which one of you guys keeps using his button? And then one of them PM'd me and says, sweats profusely. And I was just like, well, I was like, I can't see which one of you guys it is because all you guys are fucking up in the same spot and you're all DK, so I don't know who it was.
Was that an armor, the Xavius fight?
Yep.
I think, yeah, somebody kept death gripping the adds into Xavius, like the ones you're supposed to kill before they get to Xavius. And it was blowing up and hurting everyone.
That sounds intentional. That sounds like they knew what they were doing.
It was me. Well, the thing was that at that point, we had that boss on farm and we were wiping, and it was really frustrating. anyway.
Cool. So, yeah, so just if you raid, watch out for that. And then finally, they did put up a little preview of the PvP brawls that will be available in 7.2. I think they've mentioned all these before. I know that they've been systematically testing them on the PTR over the weeks, letting the devs play with some of the people. So those, I think, those look fun. I look forward to the Tyrant Mill versus South Shore coming back.
Yeah. And
those might be good as far as I know the one hidden artifact appearance, you need to kill 1,000 players. So I might just jump in there and just kill as many people in South Shore as I can.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah. So I think that wraps us up. Did you guys have anything, any closing thoughts you guys wanted to impart?
Not that I can think of at the moment, I guess.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm good.
Email us more with questions because those are fun to answer and talk about and discuss.
Yes, we do love getting questions, love getting feedback. Again, our email is wowtalk@mashthosebuttons.com. Thank you again to YepX for those two emails today. You can check us out on your favorite podcasting platform. We're on iTunes, Overcast for iOS, Google Play Music, Stitcher, Player.fm, Pocket Cast, SoundCloud, by RSS feed, and links are available for each platform right on the Mash Those Buttons website. You can check us out at twitter.com/MTBsite, twitter.com/WowTalkMTB, facebook.com/MashThoseButtons, facebook.com/WowTalkMTB, and youtube.com/MashThoseButtons. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to help us out, please share it and rate it if you can. Ray, what is your AIM handle once again?
Millia Rage, like the character from Guilty Gear. I also have Anson Morgan, too, but that might be a little bit harder to spell, I suppose. I'm also on Facebook. You can find me under my own name. And the URL for that is Bishona Nomiko, which is also my Twitter handle, which I now know how to post to from my WoW thing for screenshots. So I'll try to at least post those from there.
Cool. Cool. Yeah, you didn't get that all set up with patch 6.1, which was the big patch where that was the only thing they brought in?
You know, because everything was still Twitter my Yahoo space, and that's just weird.
Twitter my Yahoo space. Very nice. And Eric, where can people find you?
I'll just be on Facebook. Be on Ray's friend list.
And I am at WookieBH. You can go to mashthosebuttons.com/schedule for all our scheduling details. Thank you to Heat Kings for our intro song. Thank you to Jarrett for producing and editing. Thank you for listening. For Ray and Eric and Jeremy, who's not here this week, I'm Nick. Enjoy playing WoW, and I mean it this time.
Have fun, guys. See ya.
See ya.